to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Sunday morning. We're glad that you're here to worship with us and thankful that you are here in the second service with us. That song says, "We shout out your praise." Listen, we can't be lying, so would you shout with me, "Praise the Lord!"
Praise the Lord!
Come on, praise the Lord!
Praise
like to hear those shouts. Oh, that was good. Bobby's in the house. I can tell. I like it. I like it. It's good. One more time. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We shout out his praise. So we shout who he is and his goodness and his grace. We're thankful. If you're participating online, I hope you gave a little shout at your house as well. We're thankful that you're worshiping with us. We'd invite you to text the word welcome to you guys can be seated. I'm sorry, making you still stand. I'm sorry. 256-322-6100. The number's on your screen. You can do that then and let us have a record of your being there. We would love to know that and to have you as part of knowing a dialogue with you. Excuse me, I'm sorry, can't talk straight today. We're thankful for that. If you're in the room and you're a guest here today, we're honored to have you. We would ask you to take just a moment to either do the same thing. You can text that number, it's in your worship guide, or you can fill out the little registration that's attached that you received on the way in, and you can place that in the offering box as you leave. Our church of the week that we're praying for is Beulah Baptist Church. Beulah Baptist is here in our area. They're technically a Boaz Church, but it's right between Boaz and Albertville, and Beulah has a team on mission right now in Honduras, so we want to pray for their mission team as they are gone. And then our missionaries of the week are Ivan and Melissa Makulu. Ivan and Melissa are serving in Jinja, Uganda, and so pray for them and their ministry and all that's happening there as well. And again, we will pray for us as we continue. Would you bow with me? Father God, you alone are worthy of our praise. We do shout out our praise to you. God, there are times that you call us to shout, and there are times that you tell us to get on our face before you and be silent. Lord, my prayer is that we would be reminded that every position we find ourselves in life, you alone reign supreme and are worthy of all the glory we can give you. Father, I pray that today, if there's one person in this room that doesn't know you, that through what's shared, through testimony, through the songs that we sing, through the scripture that we read, God, that they would be drawn to you to come to know you. Father, I even pray for those that are away right here in the middle of spring break, people traveling, different things happening. Lord, I pray for them, people that are normally a part of our faith family. Lord, wherever they are at this moment, that your spirit would work in their life. And Lord, that today they could have a mighty encounter with you. Father, I pray for our neighbors here on our church campus, people that live near us but maybe have never been inside this facility, people that live near us but aren't quite sure what's happening in here. God, I pray you'd work in their hearts. God, may we, as we leave this place, be your hands and feet among them. May we encourage and make a difference and point people to you. God, I pray for other churches in our city. I pray that you would bring revival. Lord, I thank you that there are pastors gathering every week to pray. I thank you that there are worship pastors gathering every week to pray. Father, I thank you that there are many people across our city who are asking you to do a mighty work among us, not for our glory, but Father, for yours and yours alone. So Lord, we specifically pray for Beulah right now. We pray that you'd speak through Brother Tony as he brings a message today. Father, that you'll strengthen their congregation for the neighborhood's sake, for the gospel's sake. Father, I pray for their team that's in Honduras, that you would give them safety, boldness, divine gospel conversations. Father, we pray for Ivan and Melissa. It's a privilege to partner with them. We pray for their work in Jinja. They have dozens and dozens of people that work for them to help with the children's homes and all the different ministries and all the things that happen. God, I pray you'd be their provider in all things. I pray you'd provide every resource that's needed for that ministry. Lord, I pray for the church planting ministry. I pray for the pastor training ministry. I pray for all the things that they have their hand in that you've called them to do there in Jinja. And God, I pray that more lives would come to know you through their ministry. God, I take a moment to pray for the people in this room. God, may we not come here not expecting. May we come expecting you to do something powerful in our lives to transform us, to make us more like you. God, that's our desire, and so we're thankful for that. God, I'm thankful to be here with family and friends. God, I'm thankful for this worship choir. I'm thankful for this praise band. I'm thankful for this horn section, for our tech crew. I'm thankful for the people in the back working with the children. Father, most likely before this day is over, there'll be 450 people throughout this facility, God, each one of them needing you to move in power among them. So we ask that you would do that, Lord. God, in the quietness of the moment, we started with a shout, but now in the quietness of this moment, would you break us, melt us, mold us into your image? If you're in the room and you have unconfessed sin, would you take a moment right now just to confess it to the Lord? If you come in this room with worries and cares, I'm not asking you to get rid of those. I'm asking you to give them to Jesus. Do you have family that need to know him? Do you need personal revival in your life? Let's sing the little chorus. We did it in the early service. Spirit of the living God. Just as a prayer, you don't have to open your eyes. If you need to see the words, you can. But otherwise, just let this be your prayer this morning. And oh, friends, listen, just don't sing a lie. Let's sing truth, that we mean it. God, would you ask? We ask the Holy Spirit to do this.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Break me, melt me. God, would you do that in our lives? Holy Spirit, would you fall fresh on us? We're not chasing an experience today. Lord, we are desiring transformation and encounter with you. So would you do that, Father? We're asking you. Would you come in our lives and do that? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Actually, in the name of Jesus, all God's people said, I did that in honor of our former worship pastor, Justin Warden. He could not end a prayer without saying, and all God's people said amen. And so they're sneaking in right now. So that was for you, Justin. Hey, okay, all right, thank you. So let's continue in worship. Let's stand together. Come, let's sing together. Come, thou fount of every blessing.
Say, come, thou fount.
Songs of loudest praise. Teach me somehow. was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be
While you're standing, we sing those words that says hallelujah over and over in that song. Hallelujah means praise to the Lord. And so we've been very purposeful the last couple of months with our worship and really trying to make a shift beyond just we are singing some songs and we're reading a scripture and we're sharing God's word and that's it. We really want to give you more opportunity to participate actively in your praise to the Lord and worship. And so today's no exception. When you hear that word, hallelujah, praise to the Lord, you just sang it 30 times. So now will you praise the Lord? And so what I would invite you to do, and I realize there's a lot of people in the room, but don't be worried about that, with a loud voice to simply say, I praise you for, and then what do you praise him for? Praise to the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. You've sung it. Now say it. I praise you for. Let's hear it. What do you praise him for today?
Salvation.
Amen.
Grace.
Peace. Somebody else. What do you praise him for? What do you praise him for?
Promises.
Keep going. You may have never shouted out something in church in your entire life, and this is your day. Praise to the Lord. What do you praise him for today? What is it? Let's hear it. Amen. Doesn't matter if everybody else hears what you say, God hears. Keep saying it. What are you praising for? What are you praising for? Amen. What are you? His faithfulness. What else?
Redemption.
Except for salvation, what if he took all that away? Houston Lee's going to share a comment in a moment that struck me today as a reminder that do we just praise him for the gifts he's given us or for who he is? I'm paraphrasing what he said. I know that I'm thankful for all the gifts he's given me. I'm thankful for the many blessings. But if all he ever did was the greatest thing that was ever done, and that is to give me salvation, that would be more than enough. And aren't you thankful that he saves us? Aren't you thankful that he gives us new life? Aren't you thankful that he provides a way that you and I can know him? So if you know him today, listen, this room is a mixed group of people. You may be here and say, I don't know that I have Jesus in my life. Listen, friend, you're in the right place to just discover who he is. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But a lot of us here have received his gift of salvation, his grace. It's his free gift in our lives. And if that's the case for you, then friends, we have so much to praise him for and to be thankful for. So would you take just a moment and close your eyes again and just you thank God for the many ways he's provided for you. New life. Listen, you know as well as I do, he is sustaining your salvation daily when we do everything we can to tear it down, it seems like. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. In the quietness of this moment, just praise him for who he is and thank him for what he's done. God, I look across this room and I thank you for so many people. Lord, there are people that have sat faithfully in these pews and worshiped you for multiple generations, really, many decades. And there are people that this is their first Sunday here. And God, we can all be family together. Thank you that you knit us together as a group, from the youngest to the oldest, the poorest to the wealthiest, ones that come from different background and social status. God, that together we can worship you because what brings us together is your grace and your mercy, and we are a family. So God, I pray for this family. I pray that you would extend it. I pray that we would never have a closed door, that we would always say, whosoever will may come, that we would always have an open hand to one in need of you and in need of your rescuing, that we would always have another hand grabbing a hold of one who seems to be trying to push away and walk away, that God, we are a family together for your kingdom's sake. And God, would you help us to realize, though, that we're not a holy huddle. We are called to be a family throughout this community, to go out and live it as individuals in our city, in our neighborhood, in our community, here and around the world. God, give us opportunities to do that. Thank you for the privilege to gather in worship moments like this. Let's sing this song. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Let's live. Surely the presence, excuse me, of the Lord is in this place. Let's lift this together. Surely the presence. Acapella together one time.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
God, surely your presence is in this place. God, would you speak to us now as we have testimony and as we open your word? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, I want to ask you to turn really quickly to Psalm 71. And I'm going to share a little something and then invite someone up to share a testimony with us to close us out. And I will start with this passage. So I'm going to start in the middle there, guys in the tech booth there with the scripture, and then work my way back to the beginning. Psalm 71. Verse 15 says this, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those yet to come. Let me ask by a show of hands, how many of you in the room gave your life to Jesus? You became a follower of Jesus. You were saved at age 25 or below. Raise your hand. Look around. Keep your hand up. Large majority of this room. For those of you that came to know Christ older than that, praise the Lord, and understand it's very few people that do. But this scripture in verse 17, David says very specifically, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. I love that passage, but I want you to understand something that we talked about Wednesday night in Bible study. It just occurred to us in the middle of a little discussion about this verse as a testimony. Verse 17 and 18 go together. But here's the key. You cannot and you did not experience verse 17 until somebody lived out verse 18. Let me say it again. You didn't experience verse 17, oh God, you taught me from my youth, until somebody else lived out verse 18. What does 18 say? So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those to come. So what does that mean for you and me? It means this, that when you came to Christ, somebody prayed for you, right? Somebody invested in you. Somebody shared with you. So when you were taught the ways of God, as verse 17 said, as a young person, it's because somebody, maybe not necessarily old and gray, don't focus so much on that part, but someone was willing to proclaim him to another generation, to you and to someone else. And the truth is, nobody on this planet lives a verse 17 eternal life without first having somebody else live out a verse 18 life. And so, friends, that's what God has called you and me to do. He's called us to proclaim him to another generation. He's called us to live out his mighty works and to proclaim and thank him for those and show that to others. But it's so easy to accept what God did for us in verse 17 as a young person and to go our entire lives never really speaking and sharing the gospel verbally with someone. Well, today we've got a special testimony that is going to help us this morning as we think through this process. And I want to kind of set the stage for Houston as he comes. I have made many statements in messages that might seem a little absurd to some people, maybe insensitive to others. And then someone might even say it's foreign unless you've walked this road. These are the types of statements that unless you've been there, it is hard to understand their truth and not feel them a little bit as an affront. But they have a great weight of truth. Statements like this, you've heard me say them. God never wastes a hurt. Now that's easy to hear and read and speak until you're the one hurt. But God never wastes a hurt. How about this? God can use your pain as a platform for his glory. That's so true. And we see it over and over in the Bible. But when it comes to our lives, no one's lining up, God, please give the pain. That's not what we want. But God uses that in our lives. Or how about this? Suffering provides a spotlight for others to see the grace of God in our lives. Now listen, I don't want to make light of your suffering, but I want you to know that there's no doubt that God can use that to draw you closer to him, and he can use it to shine a spotlight on his grace, his mercy, his goodness, and what he wants to do in our lives. Now, no one signs up for trials. We don't ask for trials. We don't ask for difficulty. We don't ask for pain, but it is very humbling, and it is a profound example for us when we watch someone who is going through a trial, when we watch someone who is going through a difficult time, and we see the grace of God at work in them. Those are the greatest lessons I've ever been taught. I had religion professors that taught me Greek and Hebrew, and they didn't teach me nothing like some of the saints who have suffered have shown me in their lives and how they showed the grace of God. What we see and what we learn for others. So I've asked Houston Lee to share a testimony this morning. I didn't really ask him to do it today, but I gave him a free opportunity to speak, and he felt like this was the day to do it. And so let me share with you just a little bit. Many of you might be new to our church, and you might not know Houston. Houston, I met him 12 years ago when I came to be the pastor of this church. It was April the 1st, 12 years ago. And Houston was very active in our church. And I thought, he's a great Sunday school teacher. He loves the Lord just like a lot of other Sunday school teachers do. And I knew there was something great about him, but that's the extent of what I knew for a little while. And then about a month and a half later, I was invited by a member of our church who now lives in Orlando. His name's Philip. Philip asked me to get on a plane with him and go spend 2 days in Belize, Central America. And he said, we need to see about a partnership with our church. This was way before Advance 2020 had been heard of and Advance 2023. We didn't have any mission partnerships. We gave to the cooperative program. We took some mission trips, but no long-term partnerships. And so I said, sure, let's go. So he and I, a month or so later, hopped on a plane in the middle of the week. We were going to be gone just 2 nights. And we end up at this impoverished country in Belize in Central America. We land in Belize City. We get with our guide and he takes us and we're on the journey, we're driving and we're on this journey and you're passing literally nothing and you're out in the middle of nowhere and it's just, you see palm trees and you see all these different sights that you would not normally see around here and all the things as you're going and people in rundown homes and very poor, desolate conditions. And we get almost to our location where we're going. And I look, and on the side of the road, I think, well, that looks like Houston Lee standing there, and just keep going. I said, wait, stop. And we backed up the car. It was Houston Lee standing on the side of the road in an impoverished third world country, just standing there talking to a guy. And I thought, what are you doing here? And at that moment, it seemed absurd that I would run into somebody from our church family in Central America, in a country, on the side of the road, talking with somebody. That seemed absurd to me, unless you know Houston Lee. And then once you get to know him, it doesn't seem that absurd at all. Houston loves missions, and he loves to be about peoples of the world and seeing them come to know Christ. In fact, he's been on 31 mission trips so far in his lifetime. That's a lot of mission trips, folks, and a lot of miles. And he and I have had the privilege to serve together in several places. We went to, for the first time alone together, he and I went to the Dominican Republic to find out about a ministry where we've taken many, many people on multiple trips now. We've prayed together with people. We've cared for children in need. We have taken time to stop and pray with and care for prostitutes. We have taken time to care for people who live in the garbage dump, literally live there in the dump. All these things that have happened there in the Dominican Republic. He and I were standing outside of a little pavilion in Uganda. For the very first time, we were in the bush. We were an hour's drive from electricity. We were way out there. I mean, they had solar panels out where we were, but there was no power pole. We were way out there in the middle of the bush. And we're standing there together thinking, who's going to show up, when all of a sudden pastors come out of the bush and from different directions and down the road and on their bicycle and some in the back of a vehicle. 10s, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 pastors coming to let us teach them scripture and how to learn it better and how to share it. And watched him share that. I've been with him in Ghana, West Africa, where he was physically doing the physical work, working on a children's orphanage where my son Moses came from, and seeing him do. I could go on and on, but you get the point. What I mean is this: he puts his money where his mouth is. He gives his time, his talents, and his treasures, and his life to be able to see others come to know Christ. Many of you know that if you do know Houston, he's had a difficult couple of years, a difficult cancer diagnosis, and things have not gone well. And we sat in my office a few weeks ago and just talking, Houston, I hope you don't, I'm just going to share the question you asked me. Are you okay with that? I didn't do this in the early service, but it was the most humbling question, because if you know Houston and you know how he's just kept going, he still teaches Sunday school when he can't hardly talk now. Still serves on security, still wants to tell people about Jesus, still wants to go and do anything he can. But he sat there with me and he said, I just feel like I need to be doing something. And I was utterly convicted, because here's a man who is doing something. But his heart's cry was, I want to make sure I'm doing something for the kingdom. And I told him at that moment, I said, Houston, I have something to tell you. No offense, but people talk about you behind your back. I said, and that's not a bad thing. People are encouraged by you. They're inspired by you. And honestly, by the way you live, people are convicted. And so what I told him was, I said, I don't tell you any big thing to do. You're doing it. You are living your life for Jesus. You're doing it. But I did say there's one word I feel like Lord would give me to tell you, and it's the same word I want to give to you. Whatever your circumstance is right now, wherever you are, steward your situation. Steward where you find yourself. Be the manager of it. Steward where you are right now for the kingdom of God. And I just told him, I said, look, I would be honored anytime you want to share a little of your story and a word of encouragement or challenge to our people at any point, we'll do it. And so today's the day. So Houston, would you come and share a word with us, please? Friend, you guys pray for Houston. He's already talked once, then he already taught Sunday school for an hour. So now he's going to do this. That's exhausting to me, and I'm thankful for him, his willingness to come and do it. And so you pray for Houston as he comes to share. Thank you, brother.
I I want to thank Chris for this opportunity and God for this opportunity to share with you some. The chemo has taken some of my voice, so bear with me if you will. I thought I'd start out by singing you a song, but I didn't really want to empty the room because people that know me know that I am not musically gifted, but I do know the words to a good song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. I am weak, but he is strong. Will you sing the chorus to that with me?
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
The infallible Word of God tells me so. He loves me. He loves you. He loves all people of the world. He desires that none perish, not one. What I'm going to share, some of it we have not shared with our 15-year-old Emma. So if you would keep that in mind, I would appreciate it. But as many of you know, my bride and I have been walking a journey for the last couple of years. What David Jeremiah called a bend in the road. During that time, we've grown closer to each other. We've grown closer to God. And we've come to realize the importance of sharing God's word, of being about our Father's business. I'd like to say that life on this earth is very uncertain. In my case, the earthly doctors tell me that I have an expiration date of 3 to 6 months. And we believe God has a different plan, but we'll see. Not to be morbid, but we all have an expiration date. I mean, you could fall over in your pew. God gives each breath. You could have an accident on the way home from church. When God formed you, he tells us in Ephesians 2, he created us for a special works, for good works. And that good works is sharing the gospel. All through the Bible, the main point is to share who God is and how Jesus can change your life. You know, when the shepherds saw the miracle baby, the Bible doesn't tell us they went back to their tent and said, that's an awesome experience. It tells us that they went about sharing what they had seen and what they had heard, the words that the angels had taught them. When the apostles gathered after the resurrection and the Spirit fell on them, they didn't go back to the room and hide. They went and spread the word, the good news, that Christ had come, that the Savior was available to all the world, and they shared it even unto death. Now you say that's good, that's in the Bible, that's history. But I tell you, if you're a Christian, that same Spirit that lived in those apostles lives in you. It's no different. You were born in this specific time. God has eternity laid out from beginning to end. You were here in this specific time for this specific generation to share the good news if you're a Christian. You are important to the kingdom. Never forget that. I used to hide behind, well, I live it. You know, I go about my day and I show people Christ through the way I live. But that's not enough. That's good, but it's not enough. We need to be verbalizing it. We need to be telling people what Jesus has done in our lives, how he's changed us, how he's given us hope. You know, if you care about your friends, your family, your loved ones, how can you not share a life-changing for eternity? If you had known before I got cancer, a way for me to avoid it, would you have told me? Of course you would. Let me tell you, eternity is far more important than cancer. The way we live our lives is more important than anything we can do. Go to a stranger and say, "Do you know Jesus?" Can you do it? Yes. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. Thea, my wife, will tell you that before this all started, she wouldn't have gone chair to chair at the cancer center at UAB and asked people if she could pray for them. I wouldn't have found her on her knees at the Marshall Cancer Center praying with complete strangers. You know, we've received the diagnosis on February the 20th that my chemo was stopping. My oncologist shook my hand and said, goodbye. Thea and I walked out, got in a truck, looked at each other and said, "Where are we going for lunch?" You know, because we have that peace that surpasses all understanding. We know what our Heavenly Father has for us, and that's nothing but good. Whatever the plan, He's the one in control. It will be for my good and His glory, whatever happens. Would you stand? Perhaps you've never accepted God's gift. It's a free gift. You haven't found that peace that surpasses all understanding. You haven't filled that void in your life. Jesus can do that. If He's calling you today, respond, I pray. There was a pastor, Wormbrand, who started the Voice of the Martyrs. He was held captive by the Russian government after World War II for spreading the good news. I think it was 7 years, and he was tortured. He never quit sharing the gospel, but he said, "There are those who believe, and there are those who believe that they believe." If you've been playing Christian, if you've been doing the right thing, saying the right words, I pray that you would set your heart right with God. And how do you know if you're right with God? Like Chris said, if you love God, if you love Jesus more than the gifts that He gives us, if your home was taken tomorrow, if your finances, maybe even your family, would you still love God for who He is? Maybe you've been a Christian for years and you know that you know, but the thorns of life have grown up around you and you've quit sharing God's word with people. You've quit telling them what He's done in your life. I know when I was first saved as a young child, I couldn't wait to get home. I ran across the field in front of our house and told Mr. and Miss Duval that I had been saved. Mr. Milton gave me a watermelon to take home. I met a young lady in Belize. She was a young Christian, 2 or 3 years maybe. She told me that she never wanted to become an ember. She wanted to always be a fire for Christ. If those are situations that you're in, if you feel the Spirit moving in your heart, I would ask you to come and pray.
As Houston challenges us now, first of all, and we will sing Amazing Grace, and as we do, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're just not certain you have him, or maybe you've given your life to him, but you never publicly professed it, and the scripture says to confess that he is Lord. If that's the case, we invite you to come. I'd love to pray with you. Houston would pray with you. I would love to pray with you about giving your life to Jesus. But for the large majority of us here who, just like we talked about earlier, you raised your hand, you came to Christ at a young age, but now will you be verse 18? Will you do what verse 18 says? Will you carry on and share with the generations that are around us? Will you share that gospel? Listen, I appreciate the sincerity with which Houston shares that every last one of us, our time on this earth is short. And so will you commit and make a renewed commitment to the Lord to share the gospel? Maybe you've got someone that you know you're praying for, doesn't know the Lord. You've been praying, but you've not been the one to tell them yet. Make a renewed commitment to tell them. Would you come and pray for them? We'll pray with you. Maybe you've got some other decision. Whatever God says, would you respond right now? It's a time for confession. It's a time for repentance. It's a time for salvation. It's a time for recommitment. Whatever he would say to you. Father God, speak to us now. Lord, lead us now. God, guide our time as we pray for one another and encourage one another. Thank you for your amazing grace. You come now.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.